What are the touch points in a ship where it can be energy efficient and where the Navy has maximized, where you see rooms for growth? Because those of us who are basically on land for most of our 24 hours a day are not really familiar with this.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for the question, because I think a lot of people think about when you go to sea, you're going on a cruise ship. Well, we don't have cruise ships. We have warships, and warships use a lot of energy everywhere. They use it in terms of the motors and pumps that run things, just like a cruise ship would. But we also have radar systems. We have communication systems. We have weapon systems, and they all require significant amounts of energy. So as you can imagine, any piece of that technology, you can work with the scientists and the engineers, and that's one of the reasons we're here today, is that there are a lot of scientists and engineers from all around the federal family that are here, as well as from industry, and that partnership is what helps us to be able to, if you will, sharpen that pencil so that we can cut the amount of energy that we use, because you cut the amount of energy, you actually get combat capability from that.
And you can't get to zero. That zero. What can you get to? What's a realistic goal?
Well, we normally try to look at either the number of barrels of fuel that we would save, and it isn't so much in terms of the barrel savings then translates to dollars, although it does. And a scientist back in the turn of the last century, by the name of Rutherford, said, "We haven't got the money, so it's time to think." Now, he did that because of the research work he was doing in chemistry. He won the Nobel Prize, by the way, so he's a pretty smart guy.
So he thought, and it worked.
It did. And so that's what we're doing, is that these are pretty tough times, and it is time to think, and our innovativeness and creativity that our folks and folks from industry are putting and applying to this are what's going to get us to those amounts saved. Now, let me give you an example. So with destroyers, with a destroyer, if you could be able to put hydroelectric drive on it and you can put a stern flap on the back of it, you can save 4,600 barrels per ship per year. Now, what does that really mean? And again, this is all about war fighting. So for us, that means that that ship can go to sea 10 days longer. So it's, if you will, in the where it's needed, where it matters, when it matters, for 10 days more than it ever could have been without it.
And we've heard for a couple of years now about this big pivot to Asia. This is really crucial to combat now that we're talking about such a far-flung area with so much water.
Absolutely is. And this is true for both ships as well as planes. I mean, the Pacific, the rebalance to the Pacific, it's not really a pivot, but it's a rebalance, because we are going to be engaged everywhere around the world. But a focus on the Pacific, that theater is a tyranny of distance. It takes days and days longer to get anywhere in that theater, as we're seeing play out with Flight 370 and the search for the black box. If you want to be there and you want to be able to be relevant, then you have to be present. And to be present and present forward in areas like that takes a lot of energy to do it.
What are your top priorities right now? What are the biggest challenges in making the fleet more energy efficient?
Well, the challenges are multifold. Some of them are technological, and we're working those very hard. Office of Naval Research works with universities, works with industry, and our program executive offices work with industry as well to develop things. But technology is only a piece of it. Another piece of it is actually the culture and the culture change, because if you have a Prius. A lot of folks out there are probably on the radio listening. They're driving their Prius today, and they're watching that little meter that shows them how to be a good driver. Well, we have those kind of things on ships now, a dashboard for us to be able to not just drive it around at 30 knots, but to drive it around at efficient speeds so that we can get to places that are far-flung with the least amount of energy, so that you've got more energy in the tank and you're not looking around for the oiler.
So when you talk about culture, it's also not just about throwing away your trash or recycling. It's also about teaching people basically how to do basic parts of their tasks, of their duties with energy in mind. energy use in mind. How is that incorporated in into routines and training?
Well, the fleets, and that's both the Pacific Fleet and the Fleet Forces Command, that is the Atlantic Fleet and the Mediterranean fleets. They have put a lot of effort into conferences and discussions with the commanders and with sailors to talk about these things. And I love one of the phrases Admiral Courtney uses, which is that it used to be that we would use energy and not think about it. It was like air. It's always there. And now it's save energy unless you can't. Can't because of the mission, if the mission requires it. But it's a great phrase, and it's really being picked up by the sailors out there. And it changes hearts and minds, if you will.
When you're talking about ships, and you basically are responsible for anything that goes in a combat area, right, and making that more fuel efficient, what are the biggest challenges in terms of where on a ship or what on a ship or what on an aircraft?
Gosh, the places that you can end up saving are almost limitless. Like I say, you know, down in engineering, and I was an engineer for much of my early years in the Navy, you know, there are plenty of places down there where everywhere you turn, there are things where you can be able to save a little bit here, a little bit there. You can change out lighting. You can go with LED lighting. We're doing that on a number of ships. You can actually hydrodynamically change the form of the ship, and that's by the design of the ship. That's future ships. But even with the ships that exist today, and that's why I was talking about the hybrid electric drive, we can be able to backfit those onto the destroyers that exist today, as well as the forward fits. And all of those things save a percent here, a percent there, but a percent means a lot on a ship because it uses so much energy. So much fuel to be able to do its mission set.
We're speaking with Vice Admiral Phil Hart Cullum. He is Deputy Chief of Naval Operations for Fleet Readiness and Logistics. Do you have to spend money to save money and save energy? And if so, how are you going to do it given the budget constraints, given that sequestration is still the law of the land?
Well, I'm going to steal a page because I think all of us that live and work around D.C. see the University of Maryland buses that drive around with fearless ideas, you know, with all sorts of sayings on there. In our parlance, fearless ideas inspire bold innovation for the Navy. And we've got to do that if we're going to be prepared for the future, because too many of us live present shock, the new book that's out, in the moment of right now. But if we're not thinking about the future, we will not be ready for the future. And the future is a very uncertain place. In order to be ready for that tyranny of distance in the Pacific or the tyranny of distances in any other theater, we're working on some pretty exciting stuff. And in fact, in about 15 minutes or 20 minutes or so, if you log into Navy Live, you might find out about one of those innovative things. I'm sorry, I can't talk about it before
then. I was just going to ask, you want to share it with us right now? No. But so broadly speaking, what are the areas that you think research, that you find most promising? Again, we've been talking about the points on the ships, the points on the aircraft where you mm-hmm. can save energy. Mm-hmm. Where is the research most promising?
In a couple of areas. And I'll talk about the ships and the planes, but then I also want to talk about the shore side as well, because that's 25% of the energy that the Navy uses is on the shore side. But the 75% that's on the operational side, engines is a big place. So research on engines is definitely has a great payout. The return on investment of that, when you're looking for, we call it knees in the curve, for a proper investment in a very frugal environment that we're in the judiciousness that's required, we want to invest as little as we can to get as much as we can. And as much as we can is not just in terms of the barrels of fuel, but it's also in terms of the warfighting capability that comes from those barrels saved. For the airplanes, it's more airplanes that don't have to be up just refueling other airplanes, but can actually put weapons on them and be in the fight, so to speak. On the shore side of the house, alternative energy there gives us resilience. And there is I can't overstate the value of how important it is for us to have resilience ashore, because virtually every operation today starts from the shore first, and then ultimately the ships get underway and break the surly bonds. But it doesn't happen without the shore installations and a lot of the IT and the information. It's got to be reliable. And those servers have to be up, and the lines have to work, and the communicating capability has to work as well. And so alternative energy gives us resilience, and it helps make us more sustainable.